The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation. WTBQ.
Good morning and welcome to Health Matters. Why? Because your health does matter. My name is Peter Fell. I'm the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. And joining me this morning is my wife, Ann Fella, who celebrated her birthday yesterday. She is the Regional Director of Patient Services and the Director of Quality Assurance at A&T Healthcare. Ann, say good morning to our listening audience at WTBQ.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the birthday wishes.
And also joining us this morning is Dave Parker, attorney. He is specializes in elder law, and he will be our guest. David, say good morning to our listening audience.
Good morning, and happy birthday.
Thank you.
You know it's your birthday. You don't know the age, though. That's classified information and stuff like that.
I'm going to start making my birthday classified information.
A&T Healthcare is a home healthcare agency with offices in Newburgh, Kingston, Mount Kisco, New Jersey, and New York City. And our corporate office is in New City, New York. We are A&T Healthcare. We're very honored to have these broadcasts every Thursday. We want to thank you for letting us be a part of your Thursday morning. As I say, our show has health-related topics and subjects, and we're not controversial, contentious, or confrontational. I know David is looking at me. We know we're very smooth. We're engaging, informative, and I want to say we are entertaining. We do accept any questions that you may have related to this topic, which would be on elder law. And the phone number is 845-651-1110.
1110.
Oh boy, I'm sorry. The call numbers. Yeah, 1110. I'm sorry. Sorry about that. And the number of Facebook likes is just popping up. Like every time I look at it, but it's over 1300, and we're very happy about that. And also on our website, I always talk about all the shows that we've had on WTBQ. Is that you can hear them? And when I say
it's 1400.
Oh boy, I gotta get it together. That's great. That's great. I always know, like in golf, when the lower the number, the better it is. But I'm always associate everything higher is better. So in this case, higher is definitely better. But we do have all our radio broadcasts that are archived on our website, which is A&T Healthcare. And what it is that we have all the different topics that we've had, and boy, there've been so many of them. And if there is an issue that may be concerning you or someone else, that's a perfect way as far as going through. So today's episode or today's program, we're going to be talking about elder law. So if there's someone that you think might benefit from this kind of information, they can always go back to our website, and then they'd be able to listen in on how it was. But anyway, we're very happy with it. As I say, we AT Healthcare, I'm the Director of Education, and I do teach our have anyone that's interested in becoming a home healthcare aide or personal care aide. I do provide the classes, or A&T, I should say, provides the classes. And just call up our offices, and we have often, you know, there's classes that are going to be in New City, Newburgh, and then also in Kingston. So as I said, this is all part of it. I know I've been saying this is getting closer and closer, and now I'm starting to get a little nervous about Dancing with the Stars. This is at United Hospice of Rockland County. I will be one of the dancers that will be doing it. And as I said, I ask for your vote. I feel like I'm running for public office. Please vote for me. But the idea is that if you don't want to vote for me, vote for someone. But it's for a very worthy cause.
The votes go to United Hospice of Rockland.
Right, right. You have to pay for them.
I think it's $10 a vote or 3 for $25.
Oh, yeah.
The donations are for United Hospice.
They're all for United Hospice. Yes. But it is a wonderful cause, and it's getting closer to that particular day.
We won't be able to talk about it anymore.
I'm just getting there. It's just getting. So, all right. So let's get started. Today's program is on elder law, and we have our guest, David Parker. David, thank you so much for coming here with your busy schedule and stuff. I know you were in court yesterday, and sometimes it's a little daunting. But, David, could you just tell our listening audience something about yourself? How did you become an elder law attorney?
Well, thank you for having me again. And the way I sort of entered into elder law, is like many attorneys who go into elder law, there's sort of a migration from somewhere else. So, as you know, I grew up in Rockland and born and raised in New City. And my first job out of school, and even while I worked some some summers, I worked for the Department of Social Services. Mm-hmm.
DSS, yes.
Right. As a matter of fact, I was a summer intern working for a person named John Fella, who you may know.
I'm very well. This is my brother John.
That's right. So I worked for him for a summer. It was a great job.
Wow. I didn't know. Actually, I did not know that when I was talking to David. I mean, I remember from when I did work in the county, but I never knew you had that connection. So, oh, fantastic.
Yeah, John would send us out. We'd have to go meet with various clients or whatever, and we'd have an assignment of 4 or 5, whatever, however many per day we'd have to go see. So, you know, we're 20 years old. We'd go out, we'd rush out and do as many of them as possible. And then we're done at like 2. And so we could either come back to the office and he could assign us more work, or we could pretend we were still out there. You know, this is before cell phones and all that stuff. So we'd always call.
Maybe that beepers or something.
Right. Yeah. We'd always call in around 4:30 and be like, we just finished up. Do you want us to come back in? And, you know, he knew we were full of it, but he was like, okay, go ahead. You know, so go home for the day. So he was
probably
a great boss.
Cringing right now. Because John is such a straight up guy.
Yeah, my brother John.
Well, if it wasn't a summer job, he probably would have cracked down a little harder.
Definitely.
So.
The interns have a little flexibility.
That's right. And, you know, this was 20 some odd years ago, so maybe he's, you know, he
don't let
do
our
it
intern
anymore.
Know
right.
that.
So, anyway, so that's where I got my exposure to social services and a lot of the Medicaid and different items. Over the course of my, I actually worked for the state for many years. I was an assistant attorney general at one time. I worked for some other government agencies. And then I went out into private practice, and I was working for a foreign trust that owned real estate in the U.S. So I was doing trust work there. And from there, I went on my own as an attorney, and I started to gravitate towards elder law rather than just straight trusts and estates law. And I think one of the questions somebody has asked me, you know, what's the difference between what's an elder law attorney? What's the difference between that and a regular attorney, whatever? Mm-hmm. And a traditional, what they call trusts and estates attorney is the person who does a will, who does, you know, the fighting over the will, the different things, you know, that type of stuff, distributing the money when a person passes away. An elder law attorney really deals with a lot of the issues that come up before the person passes away. Mm-hmm. So as people now are living longer, but they are frail, they need more assistance in the last few years of life, a lot of legal issues pop up related to that. And as a specialty, elder law really concentrates on that area. Yeah. And so from doing sort of traditional trusts and estates, I gravitated towards elder law because of my background, really, with social services.
Yeah.
So.
That makes sense.
You know, I always comment on that, like as far as like elder law, and David's doing a wonderful job of explaining exactly what it is. I always sometimes compare this to emergency preparedness. I know we had that was a program that we had several weeks ago, but the idea is you have to prepare for something now when there isn't a disaster. You prepare, you know, if you have to evacuate your home, which way, if there's a fire and stuff. This is all stuff that should be done now, not in the middle of it. And that's also true, I think, somewhat with elder care, that you really should start thinking about this stuff now, you know, before something, you know, happens or when you're not able to make the decisions for yourself. And that's always like an important thing. We always talk about old, like what constitutes being old. And that's something that's very subjective, okay? I always know that I always believe that age, you should have nothing to do with your numerical age, the number, but more so how you are like physically and mentally. So like if you
Absolutely.
Were to ask me what is old, I'm 61, I'd probably say, well, probably 81. You know, 81, you start getting old. I'd probably say something like that. And it is very subjective as opposed to objective, where if you're this age, this is what it is. And it's really more so with your life and how you are. And you did already mention that, David, people are living longer, and we want to say that they are living better, not just living longer, but they are enjoying life as much as they can.
I'll tell you a funny story. My father, who's now 90, but he was about 80, and he was playing golf, and he said, yeah, I played with some old guy today. So I said to him, I said, you're 80 years old. How much older could this guy possibly be? And he goes, well, he looked old, and he just walked away.
Well, there you go, because maybe he might have been younger than your dad.
I know, real quickly, I went to Dunkin' Donuts one time with my daughter, and then all of a sudden they rang up this bill, and then all of a sudden, looked at me, and then she went, Oh, okay. And then Nicole, my daughter Nicole, said, "Daddy, did you see what she just did?" I said, "What'd you do?" She made a mistake. No, she gave you the senior discount. And I don't know how the Dunkin' Donuts are trained, but she rang it up and then she looked at me. Oh, and then
you
she
look
pushed,
old.
You look old. And then I didn't ask for it. That's the other. I didn't ask for it.
Well, but, to you know,
that's
a 17-year-old,
in life.
You look old. So my grandson asked me yesterday, "Well, how old are you, Nana? Are you 4?" I'm like, "Yes, I'm 4." Because he just turned 4. So.
But now there are a lot of components, David, on elder law, okay? What are some of the areas that they would be covering in?
Well, you know, the different areas in elder law, so we look at, obviously, the basic stuff that people would expect. So first off, you know, we do a will or a trust, or so what happens to my assets, my stuff, after I pass mm-hmm. away? Okay, that's almost the simple. You know, one of the things I say to clients is I say, you know, with elder law stuff, dying's the easy part. It's not dying where it gets complicated. So,
yeah.
So then the question is, what happens if I'm alive but I can't function? Mm-hmm. You know, when yep. you're alive and you're speaking, you know, we're all here, we're all competent, hopefully, and we're doing everything correctly. There's no issue, but it's when we need somebody else to help us. So we need people to handle our finances. We need people to handle our health care. We need people to do those things. That's where really elder law comes in, as well as navigating a lot of the government programs as well. Right. It becomes an essential element of elder care.
It's more and more complicated now,
right.
isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, you're listening to Health Matters, Because Your Health Matters. I'm Peter Fell from A&T Healthcare. And when we come back, we'll talk more about a power of attorney and healthcare proxy.
Hello, this is Tom Babington, Vice President of A&T Healthcare. A&T Healthcare, created in 1984 by two nurses, is a family-owned and operated home health agency managed by professional nurses. We have set the highest standards of quality care. A&T Healthcare provides a full range of in-home and private duty nursing services, from live-in to hourly home health aides and companions who can assist with basic daily care needs. We also have highly trained, experienced, and skilled nurses who are qualified to provide all levels of medical case management services. A&T also offers private duty home health aides, as well as private nurse placement for patients who are hospitalized and may have special needs or require extra attention. A&T Healthcare is dedicated to providing high-quality home health services for caregivers and families who are caring for loved ones at home with dignity. A&T provides home health services for newborns to seniors and is a New York State licensed service agency serving Rockland, Westchester, Orange, Dutchess, Putnam, Green, Ulster, Sullivan, Nassau, and Suffolk counties, as well as the 5 boroughs of New York City and New Jersey. When you contact A&T Healthcare, one of their trained and dedicated skilled nursing professionals will provide you with answers to those complicated questions at the time when you truly need someone to take your hand and help you through the maze of healthcare. For more information, please visit our website, at-healthcare.com, or call 845-638-4342 and get the answers that will give you peace of mind.
Hi, this is Austin DuBois of Bluestein Shapiro, Rich & Barone. Tune in every Friday at 10 a.m. for It's the Law and learn what the law is. Ask questions, get answers right here on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
Hi, this is Stacey Lawrence of the Greenwood Lake Garden Center, here with my co-host,
Kevin Sweeney of the Windermere Agency.
We would love it if you all would join us every Friday from 11 to 12 on WTBQ for Greenwood Lake Radio.
All Greenwood Lake, all the time.
WTBQ.
And welcome back to Health Matters. As I say, your health does matter. My name is Peter Fell. I'm the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. And joining me this morning is my wife, Ann Fell, who's the Regional Director of Patient Services, as well as the Director of Quality Assurance. Our topic today is on elder law, and our guest is David Parker, Esquire. Okay, we're talking about elder law. We are accepting any questions that you may have on elder law. The phone number is 651-1110. Okay, I'm always a little trouble with these numbers. I don't know why.
It seems very easy.
David, the question we want to talk about now is, why is it critical to have a power of attorney and a healthcare proxy?
Okay, so a healthcare proxy and a power of attorney are really the two foundation documents of any type of estate plan. Mm-hmm. So the healthcare proxy is what I kind of call the God power. It's the do not resuscitate type of document, and that you're assigning somebody the proxy. You're giving them your proxy to make those decisions for you. That works hand in hand with what's called a living will, which I think is the worst name they can give to any document because it's too terribly confusing. I get all these people, they confuse a living will with a last will and testament.
Yeah, so like the old movies, okay, we have to go for the reading of the last will and testimony.
The living will.
And some nephew gets kicked out, doesn't get anything. That's what I think.
Yeah. Right, right. So a living will just says, I don't want to have a feeding tube or I don't want this or that. And it's there to guide the proxy, to give your wishes to that person so they know what to do.
You know, we did have a program on the amazing technology that is available. And, you know, you said about the feeding tube, but there's a lot more things that are available that can be even in the home setting. So that's always important that you address it now. And this goes back to what I was saying about emergency preparedness, that you should be discussing it now, that you're not on a ventilator, you don't need a feeding tube or anything like that, and just to make sure that your wishes are expressed.
And that's right. And what you have to remember is that your family members don't have the legal right to make those decisions unless you write it down. Mm. So what's going to happen is, you know, mom has a stroke and can't speak anymore, and the daughter flies in from Colorado to deal with it. She has no legal right to say feeding tube, no feeding tube, etc. And their hospital is going to do what the doctor feels are best, which odds are means they're going to, you know, put them on life support type things, even if the person didn't want it. That's the problem. So you have to write it down in this type of document and do it that way. Now the power of attorney handles the other elements of when you can't operate. It handles your financial decisions, legal decisions on your behalf. But what you have to understand with a power of attorney, I always explain to people, is you're essentially giving somebody a blank check.
Wow.
So, and just it doesn't happen, a power of attorney, just when the person is incapacitated. If you give me your power of attorney today, I can walk into your bank tomorrow, clean it out. Doesn't matter that you're perfectly competent, know what's going on. You're giving me this blank check to walk around with. So you may have to make sure the person you pick is somebody
I'm it's reminding me, like, a lot of these professional athletes, that sometimes they give them so-and-so the power of attorney. And, and I think that's exactly what they do. And they say, wow, that's an interesting way of putting it. Okay, wow.
Right, so that's the thing you need to be concerned about, but it's a crucial document, because if you don't have a power of attorney, what happens is, again, same scenario, person's had a stroke and a coma, can't speak anymore, has Alzheimer's or dementia, you have to go to a guardianship. And what a guardianship does is it's a court process. So it's a very expensive, drawn-out court process that then the court will then say, okay, you're the guardian of your mother, which means only you can make the decisions for your mother. Remember, so the power of attorney, you can still make your own decisions. It's just this person's running around with the blank check. With a guardianship, the person you're taking over for can't make any decisions anymore. If you have a guardianship over your mother, she walks in and goes, signs a contract to buy a car, that contract is not valid. Only you can sign on their behalf.
Okay.
But the problem is you constantly have to report to the court. Because you have this power, the court has supervision. And I think people who enter into guardianships are shocked about time and expense that go into this, because everything you do, you either have to ask the court's permission beforehand or at least get permission afterwards to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's and every one of those requires a motion by a lawyer. I love it. My bank account loves it, but it's not something you should have to want to go through.
Wow. It's a long process. Also,
yes, and that's right. It's a long process, and God forbid not everybody in your family agrees with it.
Right.
Then you're talking about it just rips families apart.
Right.
So.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, it can certainly help in the end when there are decisions that have to be made and everybody's at odds and such, but getting to that place can be very difficult as well.
Right. So. That's why it's always better to go into a lawyer's office, sign a power of attorney, and do that.
Right.
And I'll say that you really need to work with an elder law attorney to do a power of attorney in this case, because what happens is if you try to pull a form off the internet, it's not going to have all the powers that you need. There's a lot of expanded powers that we add into our power of attorneys. If you don't sign it correctly, it's not valid, etc. You'll find out it doesn't work when it's too late is the problem. So,
now, Debbie, you said something before about family members, if there isn't something in place that, you know, the family, if one person, let's say there were three children and one, let's say like a do not resuscitate, a DNR, if there is no power of attorney or healthcare proxy that's done, if one family member disagrees, then nothing is actually done. It has to be...
No, the proxy makes the choice. If there is no proxy, the hospital makes the choice.
Okay.
And obviously they're going to choose to take the most heroic measures because they don't want to be... They're not going to make the decision to let somebody go. So.
Wow. Right. That's very, very interesting. I mean, this goes back to what we're saying. We should be thinking about it now and talking about it. What is the thing as far as like... you said you've seen an attorney for like the living will and power, you know, for power of attorney. What are some of the things that would be written in a living will, let's say?
Well, again, a living will is just going to decide. So, you know, I don't want heroic measures. I do want, however, you can put, you know, I do, however, want pain medication, palliative care, that type of thing. But I don't want a feeding tube. I don't want a breathing tube, that type of thing. So
like antibiotics, and that would they may say, you know, if have an infection, you know.
Right. Yeah. No. Look. I mean, and it's funny. There's always a client occasionally. Like, you know, I'll say I don't want CPR because sometimes when people are 90, 91, they're ready. Right, you know. Right. So the guy's like, no, I want them to get the paddles out. I'm like, they're going to get the paddles out. It's after the paddles stop working.
When the paddles don't work.
Right, that's what we're talking about.
Because right, so. The paddles can save your life.
Right.
Yeah. I'm sorry, no, go ahead.
When should someone, you know, have like a healthcare proxy or to create a living will?
Type of documents everybody should have, really.
Okay.
You know, again, it's you're only using them in an emergency, and so nobody knows when you're going to have an emergency, so it doesn't matter whether you're... You know, 40 or 80, you still potentially can need those documents.
Should do it now. You know, even though it's something that may impact you later on in life, that's something that you have to.
Right. Everybody needs an estate plan. What's going to happen to me when I can't function anymore? What happens when I pass away? What the level of that estate plan is going to be different based on your age. So, you know, what I say, a young couple just got married, had a kid. You know, probably a basic will is fine. For them, unless they have a lot of assets. But as you get older, life becomes a little more complicated, and there may be more types of estate planning documents that you need, but you always need something. Mm-hmm. Because the simplest answer is if you have a child and you pass away, the court is going to say your kids are not, they're not 18. We have to set up a trust to decide where that money's going to be held. And guess what? You don't necessarily get to. You want to decide who's going to be in charge of that right. money, and you don't want $100,000 or $200,000 dumped in an 18-year-old kid's lap, right? So you wanted to say, you know what? Hold that money till they're 25, or hold that money till they're 30,
or till they go to college,
whatever.
Or it's there for college and things like
that. Right. So that's a simple example of a type of estate plan that anybody needs.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Right.
Okay.
As far as healthcare proxy and power of attorney. Is it just one person that has to be assigned, or can there be an alternate person?
The power of attorney, you can have multiple people. So you can say, you know, my two children are in charge of this. The healthcare proxy, however, the law is that, because the hospitals only want to deal with one person at a time.
I know about that.
Yes.
Listen, the banks only want to deal with one person at a time, too. They just don't have that option all the time. So, the healthcare proxy can only be one at a time. So you have to pick. And often what I'll have is clients, you know, the child who's taking care of them, who they give the power of attorney to mm-hmm. to do their daily business, is not the child who's gonna take them off a ventilator. So often it's the other child that gets the healthcare proxy.
Well, I think in families too, like each child has certain responsibilities.
Yeah,
you know, one
absolutely.
To make medical, one to make financial, and I know in my own family, we all kind of, everybody took a different role when we were taking care of
Yeah, I know even with my parents, like, had medical issues, I was the one that they went to. Right. Like, well, Peter, what about this, and what about that sort
but
of stuff.
But financial issues more went to your brother. Who, you know, handled those kind of things. So I think that happens.
Right, and you know, I always tell the clients, you know, I'll write up what you want. You have to, you know your family.
No, that's true.
Right, but you know your family. You know who's going to do the job best and who won't, and that's what you have to... Mm-hmm. You know,
Absolutely.
To do so.
Yeah, but even like you said,
I will say this though for clients, If your kids don't get along, asking them to be co-executor or co-power of attorney is not going to bring them together.
I was just trying to say that, like, you know, my brother and my sister, we all get along. And, you know, so there was never, you know, any problem with both my parents. You know, they're both deceased. And but I'm just saying, if there's one that, you know, is, if they don't get along or something like that, it can become more
it can be
arduous.
More complicated. Yeah, that's.
I had one client early on, you know, I want them to work together, I want them to do this, you know, and the kids didn't really get along, and it ended up in a lawsuit after she died.
I guess they thought that, maybe the client thought, well, maybe this will get them to work together.
That's right, and it ended up in a lawsuit.
It just
so
fell apart. And actually, I do know families like that, that the children don't even talk to each other anymore because of certain issues. So,
and I also know, like, you don't want to do something like, you know, when you're dying, you can't be controlling what's happening when you're dead. Like, sometimes they start to say, well, if so-and-so isn't finishing school at this time, they don't get this, or they, you know, like, have little caveats throughout the thing. But they said, no, you talk about it at the time. Don't think, like, 10 years after you're dead, you know, you died, this is what should be done or not done. I know.
Right. I mean, my philosophy generally is the same as you mentioned. I don't, you know, but if clients, and, you know, I'll do it for clients. I you know, you just try to do it in a way that's not too complicated. But, you know, for me personally, yeah, I think once you can't control that much from the grave. So,
wow. Where's your law office, David?
I'm located in Suffern at 222 Route 59, Suite 110. Which is, it's a medical building primarily.
I have several doctors there, right. As a matter of fact. You know, when I go, I know that place very well.
Right, it's on the corner of Airmont Road and 59, right across from Ramapo Town Hall.
So not too far from Orange County, though.
Correct.
Either, you know, near Good Samaritan Hospital.
And, right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And my website is parkertrustlaw.com. Mm-hmm. So I also have a lot of videos on there with some information, so you can learn some info on that. So.
And that's what's important. You know, we're here, you know, health matters. We're talking about things. We want to be a resource for information. And that's how we set up our programs. We do have a running joke, though, that every time one of our guests is on, David, the Journal News has something about our program that we had. I think with Lyme disease.
So there might be an article on elder law.
So we're going to check out the Journal News. And by the next 2 weeks or something like that, there will be like some particular you know, some particular article on elder law.
Just one other thing about living will. What kind of things do people put in a living will? Different than a healthcare proxy, or
the healthcare proxy just names the person who's going to do that.
Okay.
The living will is the instructions to the proxy. So the living will have that. I do not wish to be resuscitated.
Okay.
I do not, etc.
Okay.
So.
All right. Okay. I'm just trying to figure out the differences. It's very complicated.
I know we always say
it's overly complicated.
Every time I have a guest on, we learn so much about it. Okay, we're like, oh, I didn't know that. You're listening to Health Matters. My name is Peter Feller from A&T Healthcare, and we have David Parker, who's on. When we come back, we will be talking about community Medicaid.
Hello, this is Tom Babington, Vice President of A&T Healthcare. A&T Healthcare, created in 1984 by two nurses, is a family-owned and operated home health agency managed by professional nurses. We have set the highest standards of quality care. A&T Healthcare provides a full range of in-home and private duty nursing services, from live-in to hourly home health aides and companions who can assist with basic daily care needs. We also have highly trained, experienced, and skilled nurses who are qualified to provide all levels of medical case management services. A&T also offers private duty home health aides, as well as private nurse placement for patients who are hospitalized and may have special needs or require extra attention. A&T Healthcare is dedicated to providing high-quality home health services for caregivers and families who are caring for loved ones at home with dignity. A&T provides home health services for newborns to seniors and is a New York State licensed service agency serving Rockland, Westchester, Orange, Dutchess, Putnam, Green, Ulster, Sullivan, Nassau, and Suffolk counties, as well as the five boroughs of New York City and New Jersey. When you contact A&T Healthcare, one of their trained and dedicated skilled nursing professionals will provide you with answers to those complicated questions at the time when you truly need someone to take your hand and help you through the maze of healthcare. For more information, please visit our website, at-healthcare.com, or call 845-638-4342 and get the answers that will give you peace of mind.
Hi, this is Mary Ulrich with Cornell Cooperative Extension in Orange County, inviting you to join me and your Orange County farmers on Farm Talk every Wednesday at 12 noon, where you will learn everything agriculture on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
Hi, this is Jim Mazzetti of Miles Wealth Management. Join me and my guests every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. for an hour of the American Dream. And be a part of what made this nation great, right here on WTBQ Radio. WTBQ
Weather. We have another hot day in store for us today as our temperatures go up to about 90. And there's a chance for a shower or thunderstorm during the afternoon, but they'll be widely scattered in relatively local areas. Tonight, it'll be partly cloudy, maybe an early shower or thunderstorm, overnight low in the lower 60s. Tomorrow, partly sunny with a high cooler around 80. Partly cloudy tomorrow night, low in the mid-50s, and Saturday mostly sunny and pleasant, high near 80. More the same for Sunday, turning a little bit warmer. This is meteorologist Tony Salimo from the WTBQ Weather Center.
WTBQ. Welcome back to Health Matters. My name is Peter Feller from A&T Healthcare with my wife Ann, also from A&T Healthcare. And we have Dave Parker here. We had a commercial that we were listening to on A&T Healthcare. Tom Babington is one that does that commercial. It sounds like a professional, but he is one of the vice presidents of A&T Healthcare. And I believe, David, there is a connection with Tom Babington?
Tom and I grew up together. We graduated Clarkstown North class of 1986.
Wow.
I can't say we were that close or whatever. We kind of traveled in different circles, yeah. but we do remember each other. So.
It's a small world.
He was one of the cool kids. I was like the geeky kid in the corner.
He still is. Oh, yeah. He still is. It's funny. You work with my brother John and now Tom Babington. No, it is a small world.
Rockland is a small place.
That's what it is. All right. Well, today's topic, we're talking about elder law. And as they said, we are accepting any questions. It's 845-651-1110. David, could you tell us something about how you preparing for home and a nursing care, home setting or
right. I think one of the biggest parts of elder law, at least in my practice, is we do a lot of applications as well as preparation for getting people government assistance and, sort of navigating the government programs. So for many people, it's trying to get first home care, and then if the person's condition worsens, we then look at institutional care, meaning a nursing home. There's slightly different programs involved, and I'll try to go through them, but the thing is, in order to get assistance in your home, there's basically three ways to get it. Mm-hmm. You can pay for it out of your pocket through your personal savings.
Okay.
Privately pay. You call mm-hmm. up an organization like A&T and mm-hmm. and bring in a person. And the advantage of that, obviously, is it gives you the most amount of control. You're picking the agency, you're picking the aid, you're picking the services, et cetera. You're paying for as much or as little as you want. The next level is to have an insurance company pay for care, and you do that by purchasing a long-term health insurance policy. Mm-hmm. Of course, by the time you need it, you can't purchase it. It's nobody's going to give you. You'd be amazed at how many people think that ask, "Can I run out and get it now?" I'm like, "No, you have to be medically
surgery pumped. Scheduled for
exactly."
Next week or something.
You want to do it while you're still healthy.
You have to do it while you're healthy because they're an insurance company. They're not going to give you insurance when they know you're going to start a claim the following month.
Right. Okay, all right.
So,
that's a good point. I know it comes up. Making light of right. it, but it's
because I'm actually fact. Thinking about it.
Right. As well as when you're 70 plus, they're not going to give it to you either.
Right.
So it's really something that people in their 50s have to start looking at. And, even into their mid 60s, the rates start going up. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't sell insurance products.
Right,
I just, because I deal with this, I'm a little familiar with it. And the other thing about insurance you have to recognize is the old policies that just paid a full boat, pay for a nursing home. For everything, those don't exist anymore because the insurance companies got killed on them. As a matter of fact, for some of the older policies, they went to the state and asked for the right to raise the rates. So people who had, were told 20, 30 years ago, this is what you're going to pay every month, suddenly get a rate hike, which the state apparently, much to everyone's surprise, is they're apparently allowed to do.
Okay.
So anyway, what happens now generally is you're getting what's called a daily rate. So the insurance company will pay, I'll give you $100 a day towards your health care, $150. And however much dollars you pay for, your rate, your premium is going to reflect that. Then there's also some other policies which people find interesting, which are called hybrid policies. Because I think a lot of the big fear for most people for long-term care insurance is, what if I never use it?
Right.
So they have these hybrid policies that are life insurance slash healthcare policies. So it'll say, okay, we'll give you $300,000 worth of healthcare insurance, meaning we'll pay up to $300,000 at X dollars per day or whatever. But if you don't, if you never use it, then we'll give you a death benefit of $250,000 or something like that. And therefore, the people feel better that they're not going to just lose all this money if nothing happens.
Because insurance is always one of those, well, do I really need it?
Yes, absolutely.
Who's going to benefit from it? You know, is it going to help me in the end? So it's good. You do feel like at least you're going to get something for your money.
Right. And I would definitely, for people, it's a good idea to get long-term care insurance. It's a great thing. It gives you the control. It gives you the help. You can then use an agency that you want to use, like A&T or whatever. But if you don't have that, and then you run out of savings, the alternative, or even not, the alternative is to have the government pay through Medicaid. So that's where really the elder law attorney comes in.
Medicaid is a very complicated name. It can...
Yes. So the way Medicaid works...
Very broad.
Right. So the way Medicaid works, and technically it's this, you know, this is, we're talking about senior-based Medicaid. So for the Medicaid I'm talking about, you have to be over 65. But, you know, technically it's the same agency that handles if a 21-year-old single mother needs health insurance. It's the same agency, but these are for the programs for people over 65.
Okay.
There are some exceptions to the 65 if they're disabled or whatever, those people that can get it know that usually at that point.
And if not, if you're disabled and you're not sure, you should, you know, you can contact an elder care attorney or elder law attorney.
Right.
David,
or even call your local Medicaid office, I guess, to find out if you would be eligible if you have a permanent disability.
So the way Medicaid works is the federal government sets up Medicaid and tells each state, you're in charge of running it, and we're going to give you a certain amount of money, et cetera. And then in New York, New York State tells each county, all right, you're in charge of running it for the state of New York. So Medicaid is county-based. So if you live in Orange County, you're going to be talking to the people in Goshen, and if you're in Rockland, it's going to be social services in Pomona, et cetera. Westchester is Mount Vernon. That's where you're going to be dealing with these agencies on a local level. And Medicaid will pay for two types. They'll pay for either a home aide to come to your home, or they'll pay the nursing home if you're living in a nursing home. So the thing is, you have to be obviously medically qualified to receive care, meaning without going into a lot of details, they have these things called ADLs, activities of daily living. You have to have problems with some of them before that the aid is going to help you with.
Right, and I know that
you have to have a standard assessment.
Right, right. Yeah, that's an A&T does accept Medicare and Medicaid in Rockland County, and there's like four criteria. The one criteria is that the individual has to be homebound. And what that means is you and I, we all drove here. It was very easy. It was no problem. But if, let's say, to get here, you had to go in an ambulette or you needed a special stretcher or something like that or oxygen, it may be a little more complicated. That's what that term means. The other thing is you have to be under the care of a doctor, and there has to be a medical necessity. There's a specific thing that you need, whether it's physical therapy, occupational therapy, or specific nursing care. That's the other part. And again, that's why it's driven by the doctor. And then the last one is you have to go to a certified agency. This isn't something that A&T is a CHA, does have a CHA, the Certified Home Healthcare Agency, meaning that we can accept Medicare and Medicaid. But what that means is any agency just can't say, gee, I'd like to open up a CHA. It's very restrictive as far as being able to do it. And as I said, A&T was accepted as far as being able to set up a CHA. We've been doing that, boy, it's almost like 3 years now. Is that right, Ann?
It's a little more than that.
A little bit more than that. It's going fast.
Okay. So there are different types of Medicaid. So you need to have the medical need in order to receive services.
And then you have to be financially eligible.
And you have to be financially
eligible. So this is where the elder law comes in.
That's a bigger issue probably than the medical part.
Right. So what I always, you know, this is where you really have to sit down with an expert to go over this stuff, because so many people come to me and they say, I'll talk to them. They say, oh, I'm not eligible. I earn too much money. I have this. And the answer that is not correct. So, for example, to get an aid in your home, many people have heard about this 5-year look back rule, right, that you can't transfer money to a relative or somebody within 5 years or they penalize you for Medicaid. Right. Well, that's only if you're going into a nursing home. That doesn't exist for community Medicaid.
So there's community Medicaid, and then there's chronic.
They're chronic or institutional.
Or long-term care Medicaid.
So what I always say, however, is you need to plan as if you're going into a nursing home, because obviously if you're ill enough that you need home care, there may come a point where you have to go into a nursing home. Right. So we don't want to do anything to start with that is going to come back to harm the family later, you know, one or 2 years down the road if they end up in a nursing home. However, the point is, though, you can do that and be eligible within 30 days. The second thing that really trips people up with community Medicaid is the income levels. So a single person is allowed to have, this is the 2015 numbers, $825 per month, roughly. There's one or two additional items. And a couple is allowed $1,209 per month. Okay, so naturally that you can't live in the Hudson Valley.
Most of these, anywhere, I can't anywhere around here.
And you can't shield the, so what happens is you have to set up a trust. Now, there's two types of trusts we usually talk about in elder care. There is a trust for your assets, your house, your bank accounts, et cetera. So that's the way I explain that. And then this trust is called I call it a trust for your income.
Okay.
And it's called a pooled trust. NYSARC, you mentioned earlier, is a provider of these pooled trusts, so that's the most popular
that's
one.
That's the name that
Right, but there are other ones as well. There's the competitors. And basically, the way I explain it to people is everything you earn, meaning your Social Security, your pension, your required minimum distributions out of your IRAs, all that income you get every month, so let's say above $1,200 if you're a couple. So let's say a couple earns $2,200 a month in Social Security and pension income. So they're allowed to keep $1,200, and $1,000 they have to send up to this pool trust in Albany. But that money isn't lost. You can spend it on non-medical items.
Non-medical,
that's the thing. So what happens is you can spend it on your utility bills, your mortgage, your rent, your property taxes, whatever. Okay. You just send the bill up to NYSARC or one of the pool trusts, and they pay the bill out of that $1,000 you sent.
Okay.
The other $1,200, you can do anything you want with it. You can have a field day with it. But the $1,200.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe go to the store.
Right.
A grocery store.
Very informative. You're listening to Health Matters. And when we come back, we'll be, boy, where's the time going? But we'll talk further on community Medicaid.
Okay.
Hello, this is Tom Babington, Vice President of A&T Healthcare. A&T Healthcare, created in 1984 by two nurses, is a family-owned and operated home health agency managed by professional nurses. We have set the highest standards of quality care. A&T Healthcare provides a full range of in-home and private duty nursing services, from live-in to hourly home health aides and companions who can assist with basic daily care needs. We also have highly trained, experienced, and skilled nurses who are qualified to provide all levels of medical case management services. A&T also offers private duty home health aides, as well as private nurse placement for patients who are hospitalized and may have special needs or require extra attention. A&T Healthcare is dedicated to providing high-quality home health services for caregivers and families who are caring for loved ones at home with dignity. A&T provides home health services for newborns to seniors and is a New York State licensed service agency serving Rockland, Westchester, Orange, Dutchess, Putnam, Green, Ulster, Sullivan, Nassau, and Suffolk counties, as well as the 5 boroughs of New York City and New Jersey. When you contact A&T Healthcare, one of their trained and dedicated skilled nursing professionals will provide you with answers to those complicated questions at the time when you truly need someone to take your hand and help you through the maze of healthcare. For more information, please visit our website, at-healthcare.com, or call 845-638-4342 and get the answers that will give you peace of mind.
Hi, this is Lorraine on the Tuesday Roundtable. We're going to talk about things that affect you here in Orange County. This show is going to continue to be your forum for that discussion. So don't forget Tuesdays, 9 a.m. here on WTBQ, 1110 a.m. and 93.5 FM.
Hi, this is David Dirks, the host of the Dirks Outdoor Show. Call in as we discuss everything for the outdoor sportsman every Saturday at 7 a.m. right here on WTBQ, radio worth listening to. WTBQ.
And welcome back to Health Matters. My name is Peter Feller from A&T Healthcare, and I'm here with my wife, Ann Feller, A&T Healthcare. And we have our guest this morning on WTBQ is Dave Parker. He's an attorney who specializes in elder law. David, before we had the break, we were talking about community Medicaid. Do you want to continue along the information that you were saying?
Sure. So what I explained is that for people who have too much income, which is a government term of too much income. Nobody believes these numbers
that's
are.
Objective, and it's objective and subjective. Like we talked about when you say someone has a lot of money, that's very subjective. Some people may say one number, the government may say another. So
too much money for the government rules, I should say.
Too much money for anything over $1,200.
Right. So they send this up to a pooled trust that you have to create, and that's how you then get qualified for the Medicaid. So that you put in a Medicaid application, presumably they approve it. In a community Medicaid, you only require 3 months of bank statements. It's not as complicated as the nursing home Medicaid.
Oh, that's very small.
Mm-hmm. Right, where they want five, in a nursing home situation, they want 5 years of bank statements. It can get very complicated. So then what you do is you have to pick a managed care provider. So I don't know specifically, maybe you can mention some of the ones that you guys work with, but there are different agencies. You pick them, and then they contract with a company like A&T to provide the home care. So
there's a large number of managed care agencies out there. Mm-hmm. We do work with most of them, such as Fidelis, WellCare, Hamaspec and those organizations.
But we always like call us up just to make sure. That's what I mean. It's like a long list, and that's what we always say. If you wondering about providing service, call up what managed care you may have because of probably do contract with them. But as I said, we can't sit here and just list all the ones that we're
doing. And we also contract with all the local Department of Social Services for Medicaid services.
So but nowadays with the new system, you have to first select one of these companies as your managed care provider. They then supervise.
They manage your case.
They manage the case. They supervise the case.
They have a case manager.
That's a real legal term, allegedly, right?
Okay.
They do. They.
I'm going to get in trouble with everyone.
Yeah, we're
going to
be good.
So they manage the case. So just not just the home care, but they're supposed to be there to make sure that all the care is coordinated, which wasn't happening in the past. And then they contract with the home care provider to provide those services under Medicaid. So that's how you get an assessment is done. You guys do an assessment, decide how many hours, you make a recommendation to social services, and then they approve exactly how many hours the person will receive. So that's the other thing you have to remember when you're doing Medicaid. You're not guaranteed a certain number of hours, so it depends on the medical condition of the person applying.
They will send a nurse out to do an assessment before they decide what kind of care you're going to get, what services that are going to be provided in the home. And based on that assessment, there's a calculation of what is going to be covered. So if, depending on your need, you could get services of an aide for 2 days a week, 4 hours a day, up to, if you really need it, 24 hours a day. So, but, you don't know until those things are done. And that decision is made actually by the managed care company making the referral to the home care agency. And then the home care agency takes it from there based on what they tell them.
Mm-hmm. What about with the nursing home? How is that connect? Is that similar as far as with the Medicaid?
So the first part I'll mention about the nursing home, Medicare which is different than Medicaid. Mm-hmm. So Medicare will generally pay up to 100 days. Now, I'll mention about the 100 days, though. Nobody actually gets 100 days, okay? They usually cut you off before then, because what it is they decide when you – it's based on a criterion that you no longer respond to treatment, that you're not going to get any better in the rehab.
Right. You have to have a skilled need, mm-hmm. and once those skilled needs have been either resolved or are no longer a problem, or if you're there for rehab, once you've met your goals for rehab, you no longer have that skilled need. So they will say, okay, you've met the you no longer meet the qualifications for the Medicare service, so they will cut you off or discharge you or plan for you to go to the next level of care. So.
Right, and so once that occurs, and especially if you are in fact seriously ill, then you're going to have to pay for it yourself, the same way I described earlier.
Private pay,
mm-hmm. Long-term care. You activate your long-term care insurance you purchased mm-hmm. earlier, or you're going to have to get the government to pay through Medicaid.
Or if you're eligible, Medicaid would be able to pay for it, and that becomes custodial more than skilled. Also, under Medicare, there is a copayment for Medicare. The first 20 days are 100% covered, but the next...
I'm sorry, 20 days?
First 20 days of that 100 days are covered. The remainder of the 80 days, there is a 20% copay for your stay in a nursing home.
Right, which becomes a shock to clients.
Yes, people are smart because, people think, I have Medicare. It's going to cover my stay. I don't have to worry about it. Mm-hmm. And it is a complicated system. And it's also based on assessments and needs. And there are specific qualifiers. You can't go necessarily from home to a nursing home and have Medicare cover it. You need certain qualifiers, like a 3-day inpatient hospital stay.
Right.
To qualify.
Which I believe that's the one
30 days.
advantage that Summit Park provides is that you can go directly.
Right. You can go directly from Summit Park Hospital to a nursing home. That does meet the qualifications.
Right. And it's one of the few facilities that
does. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's Rockland County. Right. Yeah. But
So just to further emphasize the point, I often will talk to people about this topic, mm-hmm. and you really have to emphasize to them that having Medicare or having some health plan you received from your employer or whatnot is not going to pay for long-term care, this type of thing. Long-term care, you have to have a specific long-term care policy, or your insurance is not going to pay for this type of stuff.
I don't know of any insurances that pay for a long-term nursing home, except for long-term care insurance.
Right, right.
Commercial insurances.
Right. I talk to so many people at the initial stage of this, and they're like, oh, well, I have Medicare, I have Oxford, I have this. I'm like, I guarantee you it's not going to cover it. So.
What's the average cost of a nursing home? Is it like $300 a day? I mean, that was the number.
I think it's more than that. I have a month. The monthly.
Let me update it. Go ahead.
There we go.
The government rate. I should say not the government rate. The average, according to New York State, the average cost for the Hudson Valley is $11,500 a month.
Wow.
If I was better at math, I could tell you what, divide that by 30 or 31, and then you have a daily rate. But yeah, it's very expensive. So,
David,
about $350 a day.
David, you have been an absolute wonderful guest, and we appreciate it so much for you being on our show, Health Matters. Can we have you back on again? It seems like there's a lot of stuff we weren't able to cover.
We certainly didn't cover everything.
That's
Can we have
sure,
you back
I'd love
on?
To love to come back.
Oh, so. That's great. As I said, follow us on Facebook. Facebook is very important. Again, this will be archived, this particular show, on elder law. And we really see that there is that need. And that's what I'm saying. You should be talking about it now and doing it now, because that's why there's no problems. But as I always end our show, I always say this every week, but it goes so fast. But stay healthy, because your health matters. And to you, your family and friends, all the best, and we'll see you next week, okay? Say goodbye to everyone. David, Dan.
Thank you.
Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Thank you.